also today, our worship leader is away, and Rodney and way on vacation, so we want to remember them as we think about our time together and sharing here today. I'm going to be preaching from a verse of scripture that we all are extremely familiar with. One I think sometimes we're so familiar with it that we all know it by heart, and we sometimes say it and by memory, and sometimes we don't just really stop to think about the power behind this verse of scripture, the depth behind this one verse of scripture, and sometimes I think maybe we even take it for granted. This morning, the title of the message is The Greatness of God. And it comes to my mind. And so think about it. How would you explain the greatness of God? How would you try to explain to someone how great God is? And, you know, I think we all can maybe come up with some words of greatness of God and who He is. But how do you really explain who God is? God is in such awe and such greatness and so wonderful. How do you explain that to someone, maybe for the first time, explaining to them how great God is to you? Well, as I think about this, I was reading up on one of my favorite hymns, How Great Thou Art. And it's a wonderful way to express the greatness of God and who He is. And many of the hymns do that, don't they? They help us to express to God how much we love Him and how great He is in our sight. But the guy who penned that was a Swedish poet back in the 1700s. His name was Carl Bogberg. And the original name of How Great Thou Art was O Great God. And of course we know he penned these words, and this song didn't really come into great recognition until really the time of when Billy Graham first started his crusades. And of course we know that was one of his famed songs that he used throughout his crusades was How Great Thou Art. And George Bevel Shea, he sang it so beautifully, didn't he? But listen to the words. O Lord my God, when I am awesome wonder, consider all the worlds thy hands have made. I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, the power throughout the universe display. And when I think that God, his son not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in, that on that cross my burdens gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sins. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. It's said that Boberg got the inspiration to write those words, to pin those words down. He was caught up in a thunderstorm, and the lightning and the flashing and the thunderstorm as he ran for cover and then was able to look back out towards the storm. Off the coast of there in Sweden, that this just came to him to see the greatness of God and His work. I remember when I was a kid, my mom used to tell me when it was lightning and thundering that I was to lay down and to be still when I was a small kid, because probably that's about the only way that she could get me to lay down and be still, because I was always bouncing off the wall or somewhere else, you know. And so she would say, God is doing His work, and you need to be still and listen. And so perhaps that's the only time. But I've thought about the greatness of God and how great He was as you hear the thunder and see the lightning and just experiencing God in that way. We know that the Psalms, and Boberg certainly got his inspiration, I think, from the Psalms. But in the Psalms, I just want to read a couple of them to you, a few passages of Scripture to help explain the greatness of God and who God is and how great of God that we have, and how good He is. But in Psalms 104, I'm going to just read a few verses. It says, Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my God. Thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty. Who covers thyself with the light as with a garment, and who stretches out the heavens like a curtain, who layeth the beams of his chambers in the water, who maketh the clouds his chariot, who walketh upon the wings of the wind, who makes the angel's spirit his ministering a flaming fire, who have laid the foundation of the earth, that it should not be removed forever. Thou covereth it with the deep as with a garment, and the waters stood above the mountains, and they rebuked, and at thy rebuke they fled, and at thy voice of thy thunder they hastened away. They go up by the mountains, and they go down by the valleys, unto places where thou hast found for them. Thou hast set a bound that they may not pass, and that they turn not again to cover the earth. He goes on throughout that Psalms to talk about how the greatness of God and how he's always attentive to every need, and how through God's creation he reveals his greatness, but how he supplies the needs of every living thing. That God is so great. He's so thoughtful of the birds and of the animals and you know, of everything around him that he created. God is thoughtful and mindful, and it just demonstrates his greatness. Then also in Psalms 139, another one of my favorite psalms, and expresses the greatness of God. And you can hear this in many of the psalms. It says, O Lord, thou hast searched me and know me. Thou knowest my downsettings and my uprisings, and thee understandest my faults afar off. Again, expressing the greatness of God and how God is so attentive to every individual that he knows our thoughts and he knows our hearts. Thou compasseth my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my mouth or my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thy hands upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Where shall I go? Listen to this. Where shall I go from thy spirit? Or where shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend into heaven, thou art there. If I make of my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but neither shineth at day, but the night shineth as the day, and the darkness and the light are both alike unto thee. How great God is. How great God is. It's just hard sometimes for us to understand the greatness of God and what a great and wonderful God that we have. Some theologians, you know, looking at these verses in Psalms, and as we know that many of our hymns come from the Psalms themselves, which are songs sung in praise to God. But many theologians have come up with words and pen words to kind of help us to try to understand the greatness of God. It's words like you've heard many times before, the omnipresence of God. So we just said, where can we go that we're not in the presence of God? We can never not get out of the presence of God, no matter how much darkness that may cover us, no matter where we're at in this life. We never can escape the greatness of God and his presence, that he's present here today and everywhere, isn't he, at the same time. Another word that the theologians come up with is omnipotent. It means simply that God is all-powerful, that he's an all-powerful God, that all power belongs unto him, and from all eternity, all power belongs to him. And then we hear the word omniscient, that God, again, is all-knowing, that you're mindful of me, O God, that God is all-knowing. Isn't that great to know that he knows your heart right now? He knows my heart. He knows our minds. He knows what's going on in our minds, and we hide nothing from God. But that explains to me just the greatness of God. But our Lord Jesus shares this verse that we're so familiar with, and sometimes that we take for granted the power of this word and the depth of the meaning of this word. But in John 3:16, Jesus is expressing to me the greatness of God. I heard Billy Graham say that this Bible verse sums up all the scriptures. It sums up all the Bible. We had that one Bible verse, you know, and we see God's wonderful greatness and his love, his salvation, and all that we need is in this verse because of what it says to us. And so sometimes we take for granted, but Jesus is trying to say to us, this is how great God is. And listen, it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, what is this explaining to us? There are many attributes of God that speaks of his greatness and how great he is, but there's no attribute any greater than the love of God. God's love is his greatest attribute. And it can be seen in all of his creation. It can be seen in everything that he does and all that he is and the very existence of God, and is consistent with who God is as the great God that he is. It's consistent with all that he does each and every day in our life because he is love. And so as we look at this scripture, I want to kind of break it down a little bit today to just help us to look at the greatness of God from his love for you and for me, his love for all of his creation, and that we're the prime of his creation. And so as we break it down, I want us to first see that the source of love. It speaks of God's greatness because God is the very source of love. And the scripture speaks to that many other places. John also writes in the fourth chapter of John, and 1 John, it says this, beginning in verse 8, and the chapter 4, it says, "He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love." Now listen to this. "Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be a propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to also love one another." Then on down and later in that chapter, as we look on down to verse 19, it says this, "We love him because he first loved us." God is love, and he is the very source of love. And it comes to my mind, maybe it comes to your mind, what would life be like without love? What would your life be like without love? What would life be without love? Where does love come from? God is love. The Bible says that love comes from him. Not that we loved him, but he loves us. He first loved us. In this that we know what love is. It's because we know God and we know how great he is and how great of love that he has. And so all of our understanding of love and all the love that we have in our heart towards others and towards God, it all comes from God. Because he's the very source of God. And so to me that explains the greatness of God because of who he is and that he's the source of love and that he is constant in that and that he's constantly giving his love every day freely to all and to everyone. And so this Bible verse tells us, first of all, that God is the very source of love and that explains the greatness of God. He is great because he is love. But also it talks about the span of God's love. For God so loved the world. And that to me speaks of the greatness of God and the greatness of his love and the span of his love and that it goes on and on and on and it circumference the whole wide world. He's got you and I in his hands. He's got you and I in his hands. What a great God that he is and how wonderful he is that his love can span the universe. It can span the world. In Ephesians, the third chapter, Paul tries to explain a little bit of the expansion of God's love. He says, "Of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to his riches, or to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Holy Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you be rooted and grounded in love." Now, I'm not talking about the vastness of God's love and how it spans the universe and how it spans the world. "May be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God." God wants you to know how much he loves you and the greatness of his love that he has for you and that there's nowhere in this world that God's love does not reach. There's no person in this world that God's love does not reach and touch their lives. And our very existence speaks of the love of God and the greatness that he has. And so God is great because of his span of his love. There's no limit in it. It goes on and on and on. Again, can you imagine the world in which we live without love? God puts His love into the world. He says, for God so loved the world that it exists. He exists, and His greatness in us is explained through His love for us, and our love for Him. But then again, also this verse of Scripture, Jesus speaks of it, talks about the greatness of God. Not only that God is a source of love, and His love spans the world and spans the universe, but it speaks of the sacrifice of His love. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. What a powerful phrase this is. For God so loved you, that He so loved me, that He gave His only begotten Son. It speaks of His enormous sacrifice that He has given. Again, in 1 John, the 4th chapter, and that verse 10, it speaks of that. It says, herein is love, that we love God, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. And that's a big word sometimes, propitiation. It just simply means this, that God so loved you and He so loved me that He sent His Son to take upon Himself the penalty for our sin. Which the Bible says the wages of sin is death. And so God so loved you and He so loved me that He sent His only Son to take our place on that cross of Calvary where He suffered and died for our sins. What a great love, a powerful love. But this word propitiation is that He died in our place. He sacrificed all for us. In the book of Romans, Paul explains this a little bit further, this word of propitiation. In Romans 3:23, it says this, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sin, that we are passed through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say unto you, at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and justified of Him, the justifier of Him which believes in Him. Last week, we celebrated Memorial. And as we think of Memorial Weekend, we think of those who gave the ultimate sacrifice, who gave their life for others by dying on the battlefield. Or dying as a result of being on the battlefield. And so they were given the ultimate sacrifice because of their love for our nation. And we recognize that. We remember them on Memorial Day, those who have given so much. I had a friend of mine that was a first responder in Baltimore. And him and I served together. The same church I pastored in inner city Baltimore. He was the chairman of deacons there. And just a great servant of the Lord. And he probably worked in one of the most challenging areas of Baltimore to be a paramedic. He was constantly on the go, and it was never anything easy when he went to the rescue place that he was called to go to. But he put his life on the line every day to rescue people, to save people. He put his life in places and positions in that city that was not always safe, but he did it because he loved his city, he loved his fellow man, and he was just a good man. But Al gave the ultimate sacrifice. He took a group of inner city kids from our church down to Ocean City to get them out of the city, to give them a chance to see first time they've ever seen the ocean and to experience something different than being in that inner city. And a couple of those kids got caught in an undertow. And Al rescued those children. He was a very athletic person, a few years older than I, but very athletic, very strong. But Al lost his life that day by rescuing those children. He gave the ultimate sacrifice because of his love. My friends, I cannot explain to you how great God is, but how great God's love is for you, that He gave the ultimate sacrifice for you, that He gave His only begotten Son. Will you fathom that just a little bit this morning and take that in, that God's love for you is so great, and that we have such a great God, and that His love is sacrificial. He gives His all to you and I. That's the greatness of God, how Jesus explains that. But He goes on to talk about the greatness of God, to speak of the scope of God's love. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him. Whosoever. Who is that whosoever? That's me. Who is that whosoever? That's you, and that explains the greatness of God. Sometimes we get hung up on this word, inclusive. Sometimes we make that a political statement, to be inclusive. Well, let me tell you, we have a God that's inclusive all the way. There's not a soul, there's not a person, there's not a race, there's not a nationality, there's not an individual anywhere that God's love excludes. That God's love excludes you, it excludes me, it excludes the most vilest person that we could ever think of. No matter what religion they may be, no matter where they may be, God's love is so powerful and so great, it spans the universe. Romans 5:8 explains it this way. But God commends His love unto us. Now listen to this. That God commends His love unto you, in that which we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now, that means that God loves me so much that He didn't wait till I cleaned my life up, if that was ever possible, which is not possible. I never could clean my life enough. I never have enough of cleaning stuff to clean my life up to stand before a righteous God. But what it means is that God's love is so powerful and so mighty that His love touches me, and that while I was yet a sinner, He died for me. He died for you. Now, what I want you to understand is that you need to receive that. You never do anything that will ever deserve God's love. And you never can do anything in this life not deserve God's love, because God is love. You can never change that. No matter who you are, no matter what you do, no matter where you're at in this life, God's love is that powerful, and it's going to touch you. It's going to touch our lives. I just pray that our lives are open to that, the scope of His love. But then Jesus goes on to talk about the greatness of God because of the salvation of His love. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever shall believe in Him. You see, we have to believe in Him. And it speaks here that this is where salvation is. This is where salvation comes. It says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And so this God's love is a gift. It's His gift that He gives to all mankind. He gives it to everyone. We don't deserve that love. We never can do anything to earn that love. But God loves you that much. That's His gift to you. And He wants you to have it. But you have to receive it, don't you? It can be there. The gift can be there. It exists. His love exists. God exists. But you have to open your heart. I believe it's the Holy Spirit that knocks upon the door of our heart, that opens that heart for us, that we can know that God is, that we can know that God loves us, and that we can know that we need God, we need His love, we need His mercy, we need His grace, we need His love, we need God's salvation. Again, as we read in 1 John, the 5th chapter, listen to what it says here. As we think about the salvation of God's love that He has for you and I. In this 5th chapter, beginning in verse 11, it says, and this is the record. This is something you can depend on. When God puts it in His Word, when God puts it in His record, and this is the record that God has given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He that has the Son has life. Period, right? He that has the Son has life, and he that hath not the Son hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know. God wants us to know Him. God wants us to know His love. God wants us to know His salvation. God wants to know that in Him we can be saved and are saved. That you may know that you have eternal life and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in Him. That if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we desire Him. Oh, my friends, God is great. God is great because of who He is and His love. God is great because He loves you and He gives His salvation unto you, but you have to receive that wonderful gift of love that He has for you. You have to open your heart to that. You have to say, Lord, I trust in You. I believe in You. I know that You suffered and died on that cross for my sins to take my place there, that You are my propitiation for my sin, for my debt. And I thank You for that love. And I want to receive You into my life. I want to receive Your love into my heart and my life. And so it speaks of the salvation of His love. But also it speaks of the steadfastness of His love. Jesus says God is great because of the steadfastness of His love. It says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. It speaks of how constant God's love is. That God's love never changes. We can never do anything to change the fact that God loves us. Did you hear that? You can never do anything that will change the fact that God loves you. Right now, just the way we are, God loves us. And I'm so thankful for that, of the greatness of God. And we need to understand, as we think about the steadfastness of His love, how it gives us life. We have no life apart from God. And again, what would life be like without love? Can you imagine in this world that we live in, of all the hatred that's all around us? We can see it on our streets. We can see it on the news. We can see it around the world. Every corner of the world, there's hatred and meanness and evilness all around us. Just think what this life would be if we didn't have the love of God to sustain us and all those things. Just think what we go through in this life and the hardships we go through in this life and the sufferings we go through in this life. If we did not have God's love, where would any of us be? God's love is so great, it's steadfast, it's constant, is unconditional, and is always out there every day reaching, giving us life. His love gives meaning to life. And if you don't have that love, you have no meaning. If you don't have that love, you have no hope. You have no future. But God's love gives us everything that we'll ever need. If you have God, if you have Jesus as your Lord and your Savior, my friends, you have everything. You have everything. You may not think that, but we have everything. God's love makes a difference in life. But in order for that to make a difference in your life and my life, we have to receive Him. Maybe you're in that place this morning that you don't feel loved. Maybe you're in that place this morning, you might have a lot of bitterness in your life, bitterness in your heart, and it's just taken away and zapped the joy of love, the love of others around you, the love that people have for you, but most importantly, the love that God has for you. You may be in that place this morning that you just don't feel love. Someone has said, you know, one of the worst places in life to be is to be surrounded by so many people and yet you still feel alone. My friends, when we open to our hearts to the love of God, we're never, never alone. We can feel His greatness in our life because of who He is and because of His love. Maybe you're in that place this morning that you need a renewed love in your heart for others. That you need a renewed love in your heart maybe for your husband or for your wife, or for your friend, or for your neighbor, or maybe for that person that's just kind of hard to love, that you need a renewness in your heart. And just think of the joy and the greatness that that brings into our lives when we open our hearts to God's love. Wherever you might need a new start in your life, God's love is there to help you to make that step. God's love is there to help you to experience that. Because apart from His love, we can never experience God's fullness, His abundancy that He has for us. Can I encourage you today to know the greatness of God, to know the greatness of His love for you? For God so loved you, He so loved the world, He so loved me, that He gave His only begotten Son, that if you would believe in Him, that you would not perish, but you would have everlasting life. God loves you and wants to give you life today. Won't you open your heart to Him? Won't you open your heart to His gift? And then, my friends, share that gift with others. Love others. The Scripture said, as we read, we can't love others without God's love in our heart. And if you have love, God's love in your heart, my friends, you will love others. And if you don't love others, He's not there. That's the evidence. And so he that has the Son has life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Will you choose Him today? Will you invite Him into your life today and open your heart to His love for you? Someone says, how much does God love me? It says, look at the cross, and you see His arms open wide for you today. God's got His arms open for you today. Won't you come to Him and trust Him? May we pray. Lord Jesus, it is our prayer today that we can lift you up and see you on high, to see your greatness, to see your greatness on the cross of Calvary. For no one could ever do what you have done for us by being our propitiation, by taking upon yourself the sentence of death that we all deserve. But God, we thank you that you love us, and that you love us while we were yet sinners, that you died for us. You commended your love towards us. And it's my prayer that we will open our hearts to you every day, to your constant love, your steadfastness, that your love is always there, and that your love is consistent, that your love is unconditional, and that we would open our hearts to you today to receive that gift afresh and anew in our hearts and our life, and that it might just bring a newness to us, that it might bring a freshness to us in our homes, on our job, wherever we may be, that we might find a freshness because of you and because of your love and because of your greatness. And dear God, it's my prayer if there's one here today that's never, Lord, has just never received it, I pray that you would help them to see how much you love them. Only you can do that. Only you can knock upon the door of their heart and open their hearts and open their minds, that they may see you today, Jesus, on that cross, that you died in their place for their sins, that you died to give them your love. Oh, Lord, help them to come to you today. Help them to receive you today as we make this our prayer. In your most powerful name, and for your sake, Lord Jesus, amen and amen and amen. Our hymn of invitation this morning is hymn number 515, trusting in Jesus. Will you trust Him today as we stand and sing together? Won't you come? This is your opportunity to step out. Maybe you need to come to this aisle today just to renew your relationship with the Lord. Just to renew that love that He has for you and open your heart to Him. Maybe it's today is the first time that you need to come and say, Brother Chris, I want to receive God's love in my life. I want to receive Jesus today as my Savior, my Lord. You come as God leads you, as He speaks to your heart. Let's stand and sing.